hot air hangs like a dead man from a white oak tree. People sitting on porches thinking how things used to be. Dark night, it's a dark night. Dark. Changing, strangers moving in. A new boy felt for a local girl when she made eyes at him. She was young and pretty, no stranger to other men. But windows were being locked at night, and old lines drawn again.
It's Joshua P. Warren's Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Vance Pollock. I'm in the studio with investigator Shelley Wright, Sam the Animal, Steel Producing. I think since we've been doing this since January, we've had some great shows, some of the best shows in recent years in the last few months. Would you agree, Shelley?
I would agree.
Not really bragging, just saying when it happens, it's good. And Sam said, I'm ready to be on board just in case a good show is in the future at some point.
I'm on call.
Speaking of Strange takes us from the summit of man's knowledge to the dark pit of his depravity. And yeah, Dark 30, the pit of depravity. But Dark 30, now is a good time to mention it in case folks haven't heard. The original Dark 30 radio concept, if I'm not mistaken, is something dreamt up by Joshua P. Warren and Nick Redfern and Micah Hanks and Jim Mars over whiskey many years ago. And Jim Mars has left the building. Jim Mars, a name that I didn't realize how many of my friends, not even friends necessarily in paranormal circles, because if you look at my Facebook feed, I'll see that somebody sent me a friend request and we've got 14 mutual friends. Well, if I look at those mutual friends and see that they're Phyllis Galdi or Joshua P. Warren or Micah Hanks or Shelley Wright, I'll know that these are people who are friending me because of my interest in the paranormal or some of the radio stuff that I do acquainted with the paranormal. But I saw people who I knew from the alt history biz. I'm very interested in 20th century alt history and conspiracy and stuff like that. I have friends who are, I mentioned my interest in genealogy. I have people who are active in like Civil War reenactment and stuff like that. And one of my friends who's a Civil War reenactor said, I lost a good friend today, Jim Mars. Didn't know that Jim was active in like the Civil War history community. I mean, he was well known in so many circles. Of course, he's well known for his contributions to ufology, for deep probing research into the JFK assassination, which is kind of an interest of yours, right, Sam?
It is. And yeah. I saw recently this week there was some new info regarding the CIA and their official stance on what went down. And I actually have it open on my browser window at home, but I have not read it yet.
Ooh.
I will check into it just to let you know.
That is a tease. That sounds interesting. But Jim Mars has died. And I believe he was 73 years old, and we knew that he was in declining health. I'd heard in recent months that his health was not that good. But the last person that Chase Kletsky interviewed on Fate Magazine Radio last December, I believe, before I took over Fate Magazine Radio, some people don't realize I don't do that. I don't necessarily cross-pollinate, but I'm a regular radio butterfly. I do Speaking of Strange on Saturday nights here on 570, and then I do a podcast for Fate Magazine Radio. Well, it's live, and then it's podcast later. But I do a radio show on Sunday night for Fate Magazine. But Chase Kletsky, former host, the last interview she did for Fate Magazine Radio was Jim Mars some months ago. And I remember listening to that show and having a big smile on my face the whole time, because Jim Mars was a entertaining guy to talk to. And Art Bell mentioned on his Facebook page, you know, he's just devastated because Jim Mars has been on Coast to Coast so many times. He's like a regular guest. You think Joshua P. Warren's been on Coast a lot, and he has. But Jim Mars was their go-to guy for years. If like somebody once called him a good old Texas BSer, and I don't mean that in a bad way, no. But he could spin a yarn. Jim Mars, so farewell, my good man, and leaves many memories and many books to be examined closely. And he taught us a lesson about always question the popular account, or the the consensus doesn't mean truth. You have to seek the truth and ask tough questions, Jim Mars. And a lot of SOS fans of Jim Mars. Are you familiar with his work, Shelley? There was a conspiracy in every closet.
You know,
he could find one. And there is something to that. I'm not maybe perhaps so paranoid as to believe every line of or every conspiracy theory that comes down the pipe, but they do make engaging and interesting reading. And again, to go back to the origins of Fate Magazine, where you skip that line from fiction to fact, and there's this whole zone. There's not a fine line between them. There is a very nebulous, very blurry, hazy belt between fact and fiction sometimes. And Jim Mars often wrote from that area, that gray area. But in doing so, he charged a lot of synapses, made synapses fire that maybe weren't firing. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. Speaking of Strange, it's Joshua P. Warren speaking of Strange. It's the Dark 30, and we're going to be dipping into all kinds of foolishness. These are leftovers. I don't think it's shameful to say that, that sometimes the people who are collecting the goods deserve the week off. So we've got leftovers. And
I'm searching over here too. I'm looking for some interesting.
And there's still stuff trickling out. You can always get more timely material at the Speaking of Strange Facebook page. I guess you would just go to like Facebook and search Speaking of Strange, and it would be one of the top results. They got a page with a news feed. You should be doing that if you're on Facebook. You got the bell, the ringy dingy over there, Shell?
Yes, I do.
Okay, let's see how to set this one up. Sumter County, Florida. Man tried convincing people to give him their cars by saying he was the police.
You mean like Sting and Stuart Copeland? And
Yeah. So, you're really Sting? Yeah, that's me. The 45-year-old man knocked on two residents' doors, told them there was an emergency and he needed their cars, and was an undercover police officer. Residents called the Sumter County Sheriff's Office, and when deputies arrived, Lipshaw was discovered hiding behind a tree. According to deputies, Lipshaw refused to give his name and said, "Just take me to jail and call me Mr. Anonymous." The man faces numerous charges, including larceny, loitering, and burglary. I can't really draw much out of that news story. Comments.
Well, thank you for enlightening.
Usually when I hear a story, it's like, that's a thought. But you told people you're the police and you needed their car. Weak. You ready with a bell, Shell?
Yep.
Florida man calls 911 because he needed a ride to Hooters. That may provoke a little more thought. 28-year-old Brevard County man called 911 in a panic, telling the operator his elderly grandmother was about to have a stroke, and being the doting grandson he is, he desperately needed to be by her side. But the gag is the man just needed a ride to Hooters. The man said his grandmother is hard of hearing and has other ailments. He even offered gas money, all the while expressing the severity of the situation in needing to get to his sickly grandmother. Police picked Hinkle up at a 7-Eleven gas station and dropped him off at Merritt Island Hooters, believing that's where his grandmother was. That's where his grandmother was. Mr. Hinkle was in a panic and was really concerned for his grandmother's safety, the responding officer said. As I let the man out of my patrol vehicle, he said thank you and took off in full sprint across the parking lot and headed west, the officer said. Turns out his grandmother wasn't sick at all. After 3 hours, police located the man's grandmother, who was staying with her daughter after being released from the hospital. In a sworn statement, she told law enforcement officials she never called her grandson in need of assistance. She hadn't been to Hooters, and she wasn't having a stroke. Police later found the man at a Burger King not too far from Hooters, where his ailing grandfather was. The man was arrested for misusing 911, which is a third-degree penalty punishable by up to 5 years in prison. That's your lesson there. Abusing or misusing 911 is a third-degree penalty.
911 is a joke, Vance.
Punishable by up to 5 years in prison. Don't call facetiously to 911.
All right, here I got an interesting one for you. In this time, this day and age, it's hard to find a good gig, a good job, especially one that pays well, has benefits well. I found something that is pretty awesome, and they're looking for people right now, and starting pay is between $124,000 and $187,000.
Okay.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. You ever dream of protecting the Earth from an alien invasion? Well, NASA has got a job for you. The Federal Space Agency is seeking to hire a planetary protection officer who would help thwart the spread of extraterrestrial life intentionally or unintentionally on Earth and outside solar systems. Planetary protection is concerned with the avoidance of organic constituent and biological contamination in human and robotic space exploration, states the job listing. Basically, what that means is preventing extraterrestrial life forces, no matter their size, from spreading during space travel.
Means you get a great big gun.
Now, it does mean you get a pretty decent paycheck and benefits, but it's a super exclusive role, and it's one of only three in the entire world. It's pretty crazy, but it is like an actual role. NASA points out that it was created to help meet an international agreement that space missions must have a less than 1 in 10,000 chance of contaminating an alien world.
Well, okay. So what are the requirements for this?
Can apparently, anybody... No, it says right here, apparently, I'm reading verbatim. Before you start sharpening your space invader skills, it should be addressed that contrary to what Hollywood films may lead you to believe, NASA is not going to take just anyone. So, Shelley, I think you're probably already out. Of it.
Would be great at defending the world.
Do you have broad engineering expertise and an advanced knowledge of planetary protection?
No, but probably if I did, I wouldn't be as good as I am at shooting.
Thanks for your application, miss.
But I can shoot. I'm really good at it.
It's more about not shooting. It's about
I'm a pretty good negotiator. You know, I think I would make a good negotiator.
I think you misunderstood. It's to make sure that no debris really. It's like you're basically like a
you
space.
You can shoot it out of the way.
You're a space garbage.
Make it explode. Get rid of it.
Somebody's got.
Before it hits the earth and hurts people.
You know, there's a ton of space waste. That's an actual issue. Like in orbit, near Earth orbit.
Crud, yeah, falling back. Yeah,
parts of satellites, like tanks, you know, like those with fuel tanks and stuff. And
oh, yeah, there's a lot of crud orbit out there.
And like, it's like the ocean. You think you
just
can,
like these huge
you think
patches
you can go anywhere
of garbage
and be free, but no, like there's a specific route. And like, there's a lot of, you think you go to space and it's nothing's, no, there's a lot of stuff that could run into you.
Get this. 7-year-old boy charged for urinating onto steaks on neighbor's grill. This is fun. Authorities in Maryland have charged a 7-year-old boy after they say he urinated on steaks the neighbor was grilling in his backyard. The St. Mary's County Sheriff's Office says a deputy responded to a home on Hawthorne Way in Lexington Park after the victim contacted them for a report of destruction of property. The investigation found that the boy urinated off the roof of his home onto the victim's grill, and the incident was caught on camera by a witness, according to the sheriff's office.
Is that child pornography?
I don't know. The boy was charged with one count of malicious destruction of property of $1,000. The boy had no remorse and said, "What are you going to do? Make me go to summer school? I'm 7 years old."
Good call, buddy.
Punk kid.
That is pretty punk.
What kind of cuts of meat are we talking about here?
$1,000
worth of meat?
I don't know that. I think the charge against the kid. I think the charge against the kid was $1,000. You know, sort of penalty.
But he's totally right. That's why cartels and whatnot get like kids to commit murder because they just
they're 7 years old.
They get out in a few years. No record.
I'm seven. I pee all so over, what? I peed on your steak.
Pee all over your neighbor's meat, kids. If you learn anything tonight.
You're 7 years old.
Pee
You're
on the free, meat.
Free to pee.
So
you can pee on
pee.
Anything. Yeah, I'm 7 years old. I can pee on what I want to.
What are you going to do? Make me go to summer school?
I hope your kids don't read that.
That's a pretty good comeback.
And in a related story, they did make him go to summer school.
Wow. And they made him hold it all day long. Let's see. Shelley, the bell again, please.
Belly.
Hialeah, Florida. Man angry about the AT&T work trucks parked in front of his home took matters into his own hands and opened fire on the vehicle's tires and engines, police said. Crazy. 64-year-old man confronted the workers outside his Hialeah home. Opened fire on
Did
the
you
trucks
see the video? He
with
was
a
using,
shotgun.
No, it wasn't. Well, he had pistols, too, but they were like old. They look like Old West, like really long barreled pistols, like, you know, ornate ones.
Jeez. He faces charges of aggravated assault with a firearm and felony vandalism. He said AT&T is a giant ripoff company, be it cell phone service or whatever, and everyone knows they charge way too much.
Dude was like angry. He came out like, what? What? Bam! Bam! He was unloading. Jeez. You're like, holy.
Wow.
Yeah. Florida.
Straight out of Florida. We'll be right back. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
To keep you suckers tripping, everybody's looking. If you're jealous, turn around. The AMG kit keeps us closer to the ground. We're getting good grip from the 50 series tires. The Alpine's bumping, but I need the volume higher. Cause the 808 kick drum makes the girlies get dumb. We're rolling Rainier, and the jealous wanna get some. Every time we do this, sucker MCs wanna battle. I'm the man they love to hate, the J.R. Ewing of Seattle. Picked up the posse on 23rd and Jackson, heading for the strip. Yes, we're looking for some action. The limo's kinda crowded, the whole car was leaning back. Maharaji's watching TV with two girlies on his lap. On Martin Luther King, the set looks kinda dead. We need a new street, so posse move ahead. We all look kinda suave, the crew you can't forget. The Mix-a-Lot posse, Cole ripping up the set.
My posse's on Broadway. Welcome back. It's Speaking of Strange. Sam's picking the bumpers.
I got two. I get two.
Yeah, I give you two. I give you two.
You were not pleased.
That's all right, because you said that my bumper music lacks melanin. That's okay.
What?
You once told me that my bumper music lacks melanin.
Okay,
it's your melanin music, deficient.
Your bumper music is fine 90% of the time.
Pierce County, Washington. The woman was irritated, first with the long line and then with being shorted a chicken nugget. So police said she pulled out a handgun and pointed it through the drive-through window at two employees working in the South Hill fast food restaurant. The employees called police. By the time the county sheriff's deputies arrived, the employees were crying and the sedan driven by the armed woman was long gone. When the suspect vehicle pulled up to the window, they immediately had an attitude, according to charging papers. The woman complained when she didn't get her drink right away. Then she complained there was something in her drink. Discovering she was short one chicken nugget apparently pushed her over the edge.
Over the edge.
Employees and witnesses said the woman threw her drink through the drive-through window, then got out and began punching the window when employees shut it. The employees returning to the window were greeted by a black handgun pointing at them, records show.
Why's it got to be a black handgun?
Deputies went to the house where the car was registered and, looking through a window, saw a man and woman hide. Eventually, they opened the door, but the man took off running and had to be tackled. The 19-year-old woman accused of pointing a gun at a fast food employee was found hiding in the attic. She pled not guilty Monday to second-degree assault, was ordered jailed. $75,000 bail.
I've got one that it kind of ties scarily into that.
Is it a pizza parallel?
It's a pizza parallel.
Okay.
Lauren Ledford from Hermosa Beach, California, says she ordered a pizza from the U.S. Postmates app, ate it, thought everything was fine, but then found a note on her front door 6 days later. Now, this is where it gets kind of weird. So this girl, she orders some food from like a third-party application, right? You know, like they go pick up the food for you.
Yeah, valet to go, whatever.
Yeah, so whatever, yeah. And there was a fee on there, like a delivery fee. She thought that went to the driver. And so she didn't tip on top of that. She thought it was like included.
Okay.
Fair enough, you know, it happens. Not everybody's informed, enlightened, what have you. 6 days later, she comes home, or 4 days later, she comes home. 6 days later, she comes home to a four-page letter. And she says that it's the scariest thing she had ever read in her life. So she was not expecting to see this on her doorstep. And so the driver thought he was shortchanged. Here's some of the things. 4 pages of name-calling and threats. She posted it to her Instagram and Facebook accounts. Please next time tip your delivery driver. And if it turns out that delivery driver is me again and you do not tip again, I'm probably going to rob you. I'm only joking, but not really. Don't risk it, though. Who knows what a disgruntled delivery driver who can't afford to eat that day is capable of? Vance, have you ever left a four-page manifesto?
I have never left.
3 pages, sure.
I've left notes in like what do you call it? Slip notes through the bedroom. No, in the computer profile for different customers.
That'll get you in trouble.
There's a little box over here that nobody is supposed to see, right? It always ends up, publicized. I would write some notes in there about certain customers. And I learned to be pretty discreet about it. Customer prone to complaints and dates, you know, that they had complained and everything. So you start having like a running tally. And then we used to have like code words for don't tip, you know, like 2 asterisks, or, you know, we had some codes between the drivers.
I remember back in the day of handwritten tickets, the 3-ticket system. Remember the yellow, the pink, and the white? Copy.
That's going way back.
Yeah, that seems archaic nowadays. Yeah. But so you would handwrite each one out, and so I remember this one time somebody wrote on it. You know, the person must have been a real jerk on the phone because they wrote something on the actual ticket about like screw that guy. You know, and then the guy wanted a copy of his receipt from me because he was like on a business trip and he was going to expense it.
Oh,
and written on the thing was like bad stuff about the guy, and I had to be like, "I don't know where that is, sir. I don't know." Like, I had to pretend like I lost it, and like come back and bring him like a receipt or something.
Oh gosh, yeah, they always come back to bite you. But I mean, a four page manifesto or instructional. That might be a pretty good idea. I should make up like a nice little instructional letter on the etiquette of tipping that I could leave with people who don't tip. No, I'd say that the vast majority of people do understand tipping, just choose not to because they're not very nice people. Hey, that's a judgment call. And then there are people who, like you mentioned, this person claimed, Sam, think that the delivery fee that the shop charges is your tip. Folks, when you pay a delivery fee, generally that delivery fee, or at least not the entirety of that delivery fee, goes to the driver. In some cases, if it's a $2.50 delivery fee, the driver may get $1. Is it worth $1 to drive to your house? You decide. I think personally it's not. I think it's nice to give a delivery driver $5. Of course, I am a delivery driver. So
I took that to heart. I remember you talking about that. So
give as much as you can. My dad always says, if you're at a restaurant or something, like 20% and then add $1.
Yeah,
it's like because the dollar will mean more to them than to you.
Yeah, go one better.
Yeah.
Not that big of a
deal, but it makes a better impact in somebody's
life. Yeah. The etiquette of tipping on. Speaking of strange, nice, good lessons during the dark 30.
Here's one for you. You ever find this interest? Like, I always found people who went over Niagara Falls to be intriguing. Like, I was like, thought that was an interesting record.
Yeah, fascinating.
You know, like, I'm going to jump in a barrel, like, pretend like I'm looking at the falls and then sneak over this fence and like jump in a barrel and then
right.
go over.
Right.
Maybe die. I mean, it's like, that's a hard hit.
That's crazy.
That's a weird record to want to get. Well, a daredevil and professional aerialist, Arundhira Walenda, you've heard of the flying
Walendas. Yeah.
Yes. I apologize for mucking up her first name. Broke the world record Thursday for the highest suspension over Niagara Falls. This is actually a couple months ago. It was the 5th anniversary of her husband of 17 years walking over the waterfalls on a tightrope. She hung by her teeth from an aerial hoop dangling approximately 300 feet over the thundering water. Isn't that crazy? She beat the previous record where this guy hung from his teeth from 250 feet above the Silver Dollar City in Branson, Missouri. Now, that just blew it out the water. I mean, it's like the cup of pizza was okay, but the pizza in a cup.
Jeez, yeah, the Willendas.
300 feet dangling. The dangling Willendas.
I think that's a great
band name.
I think I saw one of the...
I'm writing that down. I got a patent on that, people.
Saw one of the Willendas walking over Tallulah Gorge years ago. Yeah, the Willendas.
That's like the most boring story.
Tallulah Gorge is not. You could die by falling.
I saw Willenda at the Tallulah Gorge.
Tallulah Gorge would kill you if you fell in it. What's the difference, 250 feet or 300 feet? Not to rain on your parade, but that dude would have, you know, you would have been just as dead at 250 feet.
I should have just said that's the most arbitrary thing. Like, this most random is like,
okay,
I saw Willenda at Tallulah Gorge.
We're talking about the Willendas. I thought it was relevant. I thought it was pertinent.
It was.
Okay. I'm drawing on life experiences here. It's the Dark 30. This is not me talking to Sam. I'm going to hit you in the head. A woman named Major Crimes tells Springfield cop before allegedly kicking him in the groin.
That's how you know your story's fake right there.
It started with a tray of donuts. A woman whose name is Major Crimes. Well, why would you daughter Major Crimes,
you name
allegedly?
Maybe your kid Jeeves.
Major is a family name.
Yeah,
sure. Hurled a tray at the assistant manager of the Pride gas station after being told to leave the store, according to the arrest report. The woman told the man to call his kids and say goodbye, as when she came back, he was going to die. When police arrived, she resisted arrest and threatened to kill the officers before being tasered and transported to police headquarters. Once there, she kicked an officer in the groin and renewed her threats. The report said, I'm going to kill you, so call your kids and tell them goodbye because you're going to die. She was consistent. Major Crimes, who is 31, from Springfield, was booked on 6 charges, including 2 counts of threat to commit a crime, assault and battery on a police officer with her foot, an assault and battery with a dangerous weapon, donut tray. Donut tray is a deadly weapon or dangerous weapon. 7th charge was added the next day after Crimes allegedly spat in the face of a court officer before she appeared.
What are you in for? Donut tray.
Oh, Major Crimes. How did they know?
On CBS.
It's Speaking of Strange. And the Dark 30 is winding down. We'll give it one more segment and then off to bed. We'll be right back. Thank you, Sam, for the Bronx. Didn't know those guys. What's the name of that track?
Sore Throat.
Sounds great, man. Reminds me of Zeke, a little bit of Super Suckers, a little bit of that kind of vibe.
I know the the Super Suckers, the bass player.
Eddie Spaghetti.
Well, he's on tour now. But
interesting.
But Eddie Spaghetti, yes, was the original bass player.
Yeah. Interesting outfit there. The Reverend Horton Heat introduced me to the Super Suckers many a year ago.
Where are they from? Based on
I think
somewhere?
That, yeah, they were out west because they did like some split EPs with the Reverend back in the day on Sub Pop. Mm-hmm. So, that was my take, is that they were from out west somewhere.
Like Colorado, Montana, somewhere.
Yeah. Fun guys, the Super Suckers. But that was...
I always thought they were from Chapel Hill for some reason.
I don't know.
But they weren't. But
They kind of got that vibe early 90s. Chapel Hill had a really, really cool scene. You like Archers of Loaf?
Archers of Loaf.
Yeah. Most of those guys were from Asheville, I think. I know Matt from Archers of Loaf. Speaking of bass players, Matt from Archers of Loaf is still here in town.
Had Blue Rags. Those guys,
yeah.
Those guys had a release on Sub Pop. And,
good stuff, man. Good stuff. Listen to this. Man who binged on ice feared dead after attempting to have sex with crocodile. when I read that headline, binged on ice, I thought of a post that I saw somebody made on Facebook the other day. The brilliance of social media. Somebody had posted a note on Facebook that said, I swallowed a ice cube yesterday and I still haven't passed it. I'm really worried.
What?
Stupidity. Okay. But this is a different kind of ice, apparently. I don't know anything about it. What is ice, Sam?
It's meth.
Okay. Authorities hold little hope of finding a 26-year-old local man alive after he was attacked by a wild saltwater croc at Clifton Beach, north of Cairns. I don't know exactly. Oh, in Australia. The identity of the man is yet to be released until his next of kin can be formally notified, but his friends who witnessed the incident say the man had been impaired after smoking a large quantity of the illicit drug ice. He was a few hundred meters down the beach when he started pulling his clothes off, said the friend. We thought he just wanted a streak or something, but then up ahead we were shocked to see a croc. The group of friends shouted at the man to leave the crocodile alone, which was estimated to be around 2 meters long. That's somewhere over 6 feet, like 6.5 feet, right? I'm 2 meters long. We were worried he was so...
remind you again, this is the Dark 30, ladies and gentlemen.
He was so off his face on ice. That must be like an Australian expression. He was so off his face on ice, he'd try to provoke it, but nothing would prepare us for what he did next. According to the friend, the man, now naked, leapt at the crocodile and started trying to have sex with it. Of course, the croc wasn't having it and started thrashing around like crazy. The man's friends were powerless to help as the croc clenched its jaws across the man's torso and hauled him into the water. There was some thrashing around under the water for a few seconds before nothing. It was just still, said the distraught friend. The group soon raised the alarm and a search party were called out, but no trace of the man has been found yet. Wow. Rescuers hold grave fears for the man's safety. To be taken by a croc in those circumstances, I wouldn't be optimistic for him surviving it, said one of the rescue team. The case serves as yet another reminder to anyone who uses or is thinking about using methamphetamines. There can be serious, deadly consequences.
I think it's, you know, what that's screaming to me? Propaganda.
He was off his face.
No, propaganda.
He was off his face, Sam. His face was off. wow.
I'm looking to see if this is a good, ender or not. We don't have an ender.
No.
We got a minute left, but we need an ender.
Unless we want to talk about more meth use in Pasco County, Florida. A man said he was high on meth and allegedly tried to hotwire a car even though the keys were inside. 19-year-old man reportedly let himself into a home in Pasco County and told a blind man inside he was looking for his keys. Brazell then walked outside, got into a parked car. Little did he know the car's doors only opened from the outside.
What other ways would they open? Only open what? From the outside?
I don't get that. When deputies arrived, they said he was trapped inside and trying to start the car with a voltage meter.
You didn't read this story ahead of time, did you?
No, I didn't.
Might be a typo.
I don't know about that.
I don't know.
Shelley,
he was trapped.
I just highlighted. I did not write it.
He trapped himself inside the car. He told deputies that he was on meth and he didn't know what planet he was on. So,
okay. I call bull. On that, I would like to, we need to do a test sample.
The whole purpose in those last two stories was
propaganda
was
advances the man.
I'm the man, but I like these choice of words. He didn't know what planet he was on,
and he was off his face.
Sometimes I'm rather off my face or don't know what planet I'm on, but I do know this. It's the end of the Dark 30 hour.
Keep it between the ditches.
Keep it between the ditches, in your britches, between the ditches, and out of trouble. Speaking of strange, let's do it again sometime, shall we?